بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday we heard how Malakul Maut, the angel of death, extracted the soul of a proud and haughty king. While he was mounted on the horse, his soul was extracted, and he fell down from the horse like a dry piece of wood. The same Malakul Maut thereafter goes to a pious Muslim to extract his ruh, his soul. This pious Muslim was also traveling towards a certain place. The angel of death greeted him. The pious man replied by saying, "Wa alaykum as-salam." The angel of death told him, "I want to tell you something in your ear." He replied, "Say it." The angel of death said, "I am Malakul Maut." He replied, "Very well, welcome. Blessed is the arrival of him whose separation was very lengthy. Of all the people who are distant from me, I did not desire to meet them as I desired to meet you." The angel of death tells him, "Complete that work quickly for which we have left your home." The pious person replies, "I do not like any work more than my meeting with Allah Ta'ala." The angel of death informed him, "I will extract your soul in whatever condition you wish to die." The person replies, "I give you the choice." The angel of death says, "I have been ordered to follow your desire." Then the person says, "Very well, let me make wudu and perform salah. When I go into sajda, then you can extract my soul." The person began offering salah, and when he went into sajda, then his soul was extracted. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, who has compiled this booklet, he explains the bounty of Allah Ta'ala with regard to his family, that among the excessive bounties of Allah Ta'ala is the demise of the elder daughter of the servant. And the Shaykh Rahmatullah's eldest daughter, who was the wife of Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah, the wife of Hazarji, Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah, she was ill for a long period of time, and on the night of the 29th Shawwal 1366 after Hijri, she passed away while she was performing the Maghrib Salah in the position of Sajda. So most fortunate, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah writes, we cannot thank Allah Ta'ala enough for the bounties that He has bestowed upon us. So this is a beautiful maut where this pious man actually looked forward to meeting his Creator. A hadith also mentions this, that man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allah liqa'ahu. The person who prepares himself for the akhirat, constantly ponders over death, makes preparations, then he actually looks forward to meeting his Creator. When such a person looks forward to meeting Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala in turn looks forward to meeting him, to receiving him. So these people are indeed very, very fortunate. We all have to go in the qabr. We hear time and again, Munkar and Nakir, two farishtas assigned the duty of posing three questions to every person that goes into the qabr. What are the three questions? Mar Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, the first two questions. Who is your Rabb? And what is your Deen? So they expect to hear the reply that Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah. Then the person will pass the test, and deen al Islam, my deen is Islam. But the third question, very pertinent, ma taqulu fi hadha ar-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum. What do you say about this man that was sent amongst you to guide you, referring to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the barriers from his qabr till the rawza, according to some ulama, will be removed. And you will see Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own eyes. And you will have to say, reply that this is the Rasul of Allah sent to us for hidayat. Ulama say, a person will only be able to recognize Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third question will be perhaps the most difficult. If a person led his life in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for him it will become easy to recognize Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If his appearance, his dress, way of eating, drinking, sleeping, every movement of his ibadat, his social life, economic life, if it was molded in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu then it will become very, very easy. On the other hand, Allah forbid, if a person passes away with no beard on his face, such an important sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu sunnah in the sense that it was a practice of Nabi Karim Sallallahu but in terms of the shar'i hukam and ruling, it is wajib, compulsory for a person to keep a beard up to the length of a fist. To shave the beard, to trim the beard in terms of sharia is haram. So one needs to take cognizance of this. There is the likelihood that if a person's face does not resemble Nabi Karim's house and face as far as the beard is concerned, there is a possibility that even in the qabr, Nabi Karim Sa'azim will turn his face away from this person. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, has written a booklet called Dharika Wujub, The Compulsion in Shariat of Keeping a Beard. In there he mentioned the incident when Nabi Karim Sa'azim sent letters to the superpowers of the time, Roman Empire, Persian Empire, inviting them to the beautiful deen of Islam. One such letter was sent to the king of Persia, Khusru Parvez bin Hurmuz bin Noshirwa was his name. Khusru was the title of every ruler of Persia, known in English as Khosrows. Like every ruler of Rome was known as Caesar, Caesar. So nevertheless, Nabi Sallam dispatched one letter to the king of Persia, Khusru Parvez. But they had to abide by protocol. Protocol of the time was, the letter could not be sent directly to the king of Persia. It had to go via some governor appointed by Khusru Parvez. So Nabi Karim Sallam gave the letter to Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala. He in turn handed the letter to the governor of Bahrain, a person by the name of Mundir bin Sawi, also a fire worshipper, a mushrik. In those days Bahrain was under the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was very vast, just as the Roman Empire was also vast. Areas like Bahrain, Yemen, fell within the Persian Empire. So he went and gave the letter to Mundir bin Sawi, who in turn took the letter to Khusru Parvez. In the letter, Nabi Karim Sallam invited him towards Islam. Min Muhammadin Rasulillah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ila Azimi Faris. Aslim Taslam. Assalamu ala manittaba al huda. Fa in abaita fa inna alayka ism al majus. So very simple, Nabi Sallam gave da'wah towards Islam, that this letter is from the Rasul of Allah, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the ruler of Persia. Nabi Sallam did not use fancy titles, straightforward ruler of Persia. Nabi Sallam tells him, embrace Islam and you will have security, tranquility. Peace upon those people who wish to follow the hidayat, guidance of Allah Ta'ala. And Nabi Sallam warned him in the letter that if you refuse to accept Islam, then the burden of your subjects will be on your shoulders. Because annas wala dini mulukihim, if the king accepts Islam, the people also will accept. By you rejecting Islam, they will not be blessed with this deen. That burden will be on your shoulders as well. When the letter was read out to Khusru Parvez, it was in Arabic, translated for him, he became enraged because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed him in these simple terms, the ruler of Persia. No fancy titles, no accolades, like the people of Persia were habitual of addressing the king. So he became angry. That what type of person is this Muhammad? He addresses me like a peasant. He became so angry that he tore that letter to shreds. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu was informed of this by divine revelation, that he insulted Nabi Kareem Sallallahu by tearing the letter into bits and pieces. So Nabi Sallallahu made baddu'a, fada'a alayhim ayyumazzaqu kulla mumazzaq. Nabi Sallallahu made dua that Allah Ta'ala should tear the whole kingdom of Persia into shreds, like he tore my letter into shreds. And this dua later materialized, it was accepted. But the king of Persia did not rest. He was so incandescent with anger that he sent instructions to Bazan. Bazan was a governor of Yemen, which also fell under the Persian Empire. He sent instructions that you send two of your robust men to Madinah Munawwara to capture this rude person, referring to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that bring him to me, imprison him, and I shall take him to task. So Badan sent from Yemen two of his most robust and brave and strong warriors to Madinah Munawwara with a letter in which they were given instructions to imprison Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When they came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they gave the letter to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which there were instructions that we have come to take you into captivity, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu merely smiled. He did not reply. He told them, stay over for a day, I will give you my reply tomorrow. In the meantime, Nabi Sallallahu noticed this was the habit of the Persians. He was clean shaven, but he had a very huge moustache. So Nabi Sallallahu asked them, two of them, who gave you the command to adopt this appearance? So they said, our God, referring to Khusru, that our Rabb, na'uzu billah, he gave us instructions to adopt this appearance. So Nabi Sallallahu was abhorred. Nabi Sallallahu turned his face away, disgusted at this appearance. And he said to him, إِنَّ رَبَّنَا أَمَرَنَا بِإِعْفَاءِ اللُّحَى وَقَصِّ الشَّوَارِبِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that Allah Ta'ala has commanded us Muslims to grow our beards and to trim our moustaches. So here Nabi Sallallahu was so disgusted, he turned his face away. On that, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah writes in this kitab, Darika Ujub, that a person should fear lest it happens in the qabr when he's shown Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and a person is clean shaven. What happens if Nabi Sallam turns his face away in the qabr? What will the fate of that person be? So something to take cognizance of. Something that is very, very important in our Sharia, keeping the beard. Nonetheless, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bad dua got accepted and his kingdom crumbled. His own son, whose name was Sharwai, he rebelled against his father. And the reason for that, his father had several wives. One of his wives was Shirin, a very attractive lady, very beautiful. It was not the son's mother, it was his father's second wife. So he fell head over heels in love with her. And then he plotted to do away with his father. He had him house arrested, set on a throne, and then eventually plotted to execute his father. And he would enjoy this lady Shirin as his woman. He was a womanizer too. But the father himself was not stupid. He knew my son is going to have me killed. He knew his son was a womanizer. So he put a bottle, a vial full of poison into a cupboard, into his bedroom. On that he put a label, هَذَا الدَّوَىٰ النَّافِعْ لِلْجِمَعِ, that this medication is very good for having relations with a woman. In other terms, it is an aphrodisiac. The son would be tempted. So eventually the son carried out his threat of killing his father. Then he opened that cupboard, he saw this bottle, this vial, became very happy. Then there's an aphrodisiac Viagra for me here. Hadha dawa annafi liljima. He drank that and he died. But before he died, he killed all his brothers too, so that no one can claim the throne. After executing them, he too died. In this way, Nabi Sallam tore that kingdom to shreds. The only person left to succeed on the throne was a daughter of Khusru Parvez by the name of Buran, the sister of the Sherway. The people eventually made her the queen of Persia. When Nabi Sallam came to hear of this, that is when he made the famous statement, لَيَّفْلَحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ إِمْرَأَةً أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. And such a nation can never prosper who appoints a woman over their affairs. Female leadership in Islam is not recognized. That is the role of a man. Slowly but surely, eventually, that empire crumbled. In the time of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, it was liberated, conquered by the Muslims. So this is very, very vital. That as Muslims, we all grow our beards, trim our moustaches. On one occasion, Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi was seated somewhere, and a so-called intellectual, who we call a clever, he came forward, and he posed an objection to Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi, that why do you people keep beards? The beard is something unnatural. If it was a natural trait of a human being, if Allah Ta'ala wanted us to grow beards, Allah Ta'ala would have taken out from a mother's wombs with a beard on the face. First of all, how unsightly that baby would look. It wouldn't even look cute. But nevertheless, he said, because we are not born with beards, it is something unnatural. That is why we should not keep beards. So Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala granted him great intellect, wisdom. He countered that by asking this man, they tell me, when babies are born from their mother's womb, do they come with a set of teeth in their mouth? He said, no, teeth come out after a few years. So Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah said to him, then you should say that having teeth also is something unnatural. Why don't you remove all your teeth? Because you're not born with teeth. So just as you said, not being born with a beard is unnatural for a human, then having teeth also should be unnatural. So Mawlana Sahib silenced him. He had no reply for that. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi was also seated there. When he heard this beautiful reply, he said to Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi, MashaAllah Mawlana, kitna dandan shikan jawab diya. What a tooth-shattering reply you gave. That you silenced him. So nonetheless, this beard is very, very important in Islam. And the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, the book is written, is titled Dari Ka Wujub, not Dari Ki Sunnat. There's a compulsion of keeping a beard. Such an important aspect of our deen. There was a person living in Delhi. In those days, people used to speak Farsi, Persian, in many parts of India as well. So he read up some poetry of a poet in Persia, modern day Iran, and he was very impressed with the poetry. The poetry was praising Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he thought this must be a very pious poet praising Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he thought, I must go and meet this person. He made preparations went all the way to Persia, to Iran. And he made inquiries because he was a famous poet. People directed him. He went to the town of this poet, looking forward to meeting with him, that he must be a great saintly personality. When he went to the home, they said he's gone to the barber shop. When he went to the barber shop, he found this poet sitting on the chair of the barber busy shaving his beard. So he was totally shocked. A man that praises Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his poetry cannot emulate the appearance of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in Farsi he said to him, in Persian, Agha Rishmi Tarashi, that sir, are you busy shaving your beard? So he replied, Bale Rishmi Tarasham, Magar Dile Kase Nami Tarasham, that I may be shaving my beard, but I do not shave the heart of anyone. I do not insult anyone. You are insulting me by raising this objection of why I am shaving my beard. So in this way, you are putting a blade across my heart, angering me. So this person from India was a pious man. He replied to this man that you say that by making this comment, I'm hurting your heart. But think over this. Dile Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mi kharashi. You are putting a blade across the heart of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam by shaving your beard. You are hurting Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Nabi Sallam is informed that his ummati is shaving his beard, how hurt he would be. So when he heard this comment, Allah Ta'ala guided him. And he thanked this person. Jazakallah ke chashma baas kar di. Muraba jane jaan hamraz kar di. Then I thank you that today you have opened my eyes. I did not realize that each time I put the blade on my face, I'm cutting through the heart of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tearing the sunnah to bits. Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi used to often tell us that other sins are committed for a short period of time. Even if a person commits zina, he is engaged in the act for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, is over. A person shaving his beard 24/7, he is transgressing the commands of Allah. While in salah also he is committing a sin, standing before Allah without a beard. So important this is. Allah give us a tawfiq, so that when the time comes to go in the qabr, answer these three questions. When Nabi Sallam looks at us, he should look with a look of affection, of mercy, and not turn his face away in disgust, seeing that the person does not have a beard. Allah protect us from that. So these are the three pertinent questions. There was an ustaz in Dabel, where we studied, long before my time. Maulana Abdul Rahman Sahab Amrohi Rahmatullahi. People used to call him affectionately Baba Abdul Rahman. He was elderly. His habit was, the subjects he would teach, he would give the entire exam paper to his students. They didn't have to sweat. Every student would be overjoyed if he gets the paper, all the questions. And the students would all fly, all pass with flying colors. He used to set the paper and mark the paper. One day after setting the paper, he gave the paper to the students. They answered very well. But then he took ill when the time came to mark the paper. So Maulana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi was given the duty of marking those students' papers. When he marked those papers, he was astonished that every student is a genius here, writing volumes. Not two or three pages, volumes. Like each one is Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani Rahmatullah. So he thought to himself, something not right here, something fishy. So when Maulana Abdul Rahman Sahib Amroi Rahmatullahi recovered from his illness. Maulana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi went up to him, but before he went to him, he called some student and asked him, what is the secret behind this? And the student admitted that the Ustaz gives us the questions. So he summoned Maulana Abdul Rahman Sahib Amroi Rahmatullahi, confronted him, because he was head of the department, Maulana Badr Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi, that how can we evaluate the capabilities of the students if you give them all the questions? So he gave this reply, a humble man. He said, when this ultimate exam will take place in the Qabr, Allah has given all the question exam paper to us beforehand, that the three questions will be asked, مَا رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ وَمَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. If Allah Ta'ala could give us the exam paper, why shouldn't I give them the exam paper? So this was him. We had one ustaz who used to sell set very stiff papers, Muslim Sharif, in the final year. Once the paper was so tough, after we answered, we went to the home of our ustaz and told him, Hazrat, you set a very difficult paper today. So he replied, Bewakuf, stupids, this paper was not meant for you, it was meant for the invigilators that look over in the exam hall, that normally the student is stumped, he'll go to that ustaz there, ask him for a bit of a push. He says, even those ustaz won't answer these questions. They say, I was testing them, not you. But nevertheless, then eventually, he marked leniently, and students got through. So nevertheless, this beard is so very important. We tend to brush it under the carpet. From what we have heard just now, the importance, Allah give us the tawfiq of emulating the appearance of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that when the time comes, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not turn his face away from us. Allah make us among those fortunate ones who go through with flying colors in the test of the qabr, in the exam on the day of Qiyamah. Allah take us with the speed of lightning, inshallah, into Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.